This story takes us to August 13, 1943. Meets Mary Alberti, the wife of Joe Alberti, a newly convicted hold-up man. She has a plan. It may be a complicated plan, a plan that's hard for us to follow, but such are the tales told by the Whistler. This is Death in the Air.
Have you heard the strange tales of the Whistler?
Look, I know I haven't a chance. I know that I can't live. I can tell by the way that a doctor looks at me. And you, too. Why don't you tell me the truth? Why don't you?
Friday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler.
I, The Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight, the unusual story of Death in the Air. A girl, a rather ordinary brunette of 18, plainly dressed, steps out of an elevator on the 14th floor of a swank apartment house and moves silently down the hall, pauses for a moment before a certain door, then turns the knob and steps inside. A handsome man of 35 jumps to his feet, stares at the girl a moment. Then she closes the door behind her.
Who are you? What do you want?
You don't know me. You never seen me before. But I know that you're Fred Blake.
Yes, I'm Fred Blake. So what? What's the idea of walking into my apartment?
I'm Mary Alberti.
Mary Alberti?
Does that name mean anything to you?
Why, lots of people are named Alberti.
Yeah. But I'm Mrs. Joe Alberti.
Joe Alberti?
Yeah. I thought that name would get a rise out of you.
What are you doing here?
Do you happen to know where my husband is at this moment?
Joe? Why, certainly I know where he is. Who doesn't? This morning he was sentenced. By now he's in the state pen.
Convicted of murder.
That's right.
A murder he didn't commit.
He was convicted. He had a trial.
But he's innocent. And you know it.
He held up the bank messenger. He shot him.
Then what became of the money?
How should I know?
Well, I know what became of the money. You have it.
How do you figure that?
Joe was working for you. As a chauffeur, he said. And I didn't know any different until he got into this jam. I didn't know what you were. Until he told me today. Just before he left.
Yeah, and what did he tell you?
That you were a gangster. And that he had nothing to do with the holdup or the murder. But that you planted the evidence on him. He was a fall guy.
Now look, sister, I run a couple of nightclubs and little gambling stuff. But I haven't yet gotten around to holdups and murders.
My husband wouldn't lie to me. He begged me to keep quiet about it, because he was afraid if I made a fuss that you'd get rid of me.
What a wild imagination Joe has.
Joe told me the truth. Joe wouldn't lie to me.
The jury didn't believe his story?
He didn't tell him everything. He was afraid. Afraid for me.
Will you get out of here till I call the police?
Nobody knows what became of the $50,000 my husband was supposed to have taken. Nobody but me.
So?
So, since Joe's been convicted, I think I ought to have the use of the money. So fork over, Mr. Blake.
Well, of all the brainstorms, you expect me to give you $50,000?
I do. If Joe grabbed it, it belongs to him. And since Joe's gone, it all becomes mine.
Are you nuts?
I know you don't carry $50,000 around with you, but you can get it tomorrow in cash. So I'll give you till tomorrow at noon to hand it over. That's 12 hours, Mr. Blake.
And if I don't?
Then I'll kill you.
I see. Well, where can I locate you tomorrow by noon?
At my hotel.
Very well. Just take this notepad and write your name and address. And your phone number.
Okay. There. There you are. And bring it in person, Mr. Blake.
Oh, of course. I wouldn't want anybody else in on this.
And if you don't show up with the money tomorrow, well, I'll catch up with you sooner or later. You'll pay eventually. I know you will.
I think I'll run up to the penitentiary and have a talk with Joe. He's all mixed up.
He isn't mixed up. Not now.
No?
No, Mr. Blake. Joe's dead.
What?
Dead. Killed himself on the way to the pen. He knew he was stuck and he couldn't face it. You did that, Blake. You killed him. So now you're gonna pay. Through the nose. Good night, you dirty rat.
For 10 minutes or so, Fred Blake sits at his desk, thinking, studying the peculiar situation. Then there comes a knock at the door. He steps across the room and...
Yes, who is it?
Carl Winston.
What do you want, Carl?
I want to talk to you a minute.
Okay, come in. What's on your mind?
Well, I was told you wanted to see me.
Yes, Carl, I do. But I didn't expect you here at this time of night.
What do you want with me?
As if you didn't know. What are you going to do about this phony check?
Well, I hadn't got the money now, but I'll get it eventually.
I've given you a month. Now I want the money.
I'll get it. Really, I'll get it.
Well, if you can't get it, I can.
What do you mean?
Your father's district attorney of this county. I'll go to him. He'd pay it to hush it up.
Oh, please, Blake.
Or maybe I'd tell your father you ran up a liquor bill.
Look, Blake, I haven't got the money, but if you wait, I'll get it.
I've given you all the time I intend to. I want the money now.
Put up your hands, Blake.
Now, wait a minute. Don't try that bad man stuff on me. Put up that gun before you hurt somebody.
Give me that check. Hand it over.
Okay, Carl. But you're crazy.
Give me that check.
Sure. Here you are.
Let go. Get away from me. I'll kill you.
You crazy little fool.
Blake. Blake. Good Lord.
For many hours, Blake hovers between life and death. Several times he is revived from the coma sufficiently to answer questions of the detectives. Now, several days later, a week to be exact, the district attorney holds a conference.
Tell me, Blake, on the night you were shot, did you see your assailant?
No.
You remember anything that happened?
Well, I remember the shot. Pulled a stab of fire in my chest. Came to in a minute or so, I guess. Got to the phone and called the receiving hospital. And I passed out again.
And you didn't see the person?
No.
Blake, do you know a woman named Mary Alberti?
Yes.
Was she in your rooms the night you were shot?
Yes, how did you know?
On your date pad, we found her name and address and phone number. What time was she in your apartment?
Oh, about 12 o'clock, midnight.
And you were shot shortly after midnight?
That's right.
You think she did it?
I don't know who did it. That's for you to figure out.
What did Mary Alberti want? Why was she in your apartment?
Well, her husband Joe was my chauffeur. She wanted some money. She figured I'd help her out.
And did you?
Well, I told her I'd take care of her later.
Did you know Joe Alberti committed suicide?
Not until she told me.
Did Mary Alberti threaten you because you wouldn't give her some money at the moment?
Yeah, she did.
Do you think it was Mary who came back later and shot you?
I don't know. Could have been.
But she did threaten your life.
Yes, that's right.
Very well, Blake. There are witnesses to this conversation. It'll have to be repeated in court.
Okay, Winston.
You'll be notified about the trial.
Trial?
Certainly. I'm going to try Mary Alberti on attempted murder.
And so Mary Alberti is tried and convicted and sentenced for from 5 to 20 years. And now, 5 years, 5 long years have passed. Fred Blake has become wealthy, the boss of every racket in the county. And District Attorney Winston has been reelected on a new platform, a vice cleanup campaign. Fred Blake sends for the district attorney.
Come in, Winston. Sit down. Have a cigar?
Thanks. What's on your mind, Blake?
Well, I wanted to have a little talk with you, Winston, about your campaign.
Campaign is over. I've been reelected.
Yeah, but I mean your so-called cleanup campaign. When does that start, Winston?
It started the day I was reelected.
I see. My name at the head of your list?
I'm starting on you, Blake. And if I put you where you belong, well, that'll be a great accomplishment.
I think you're being foolish, Winston.
Do you? Why?
If you just dropped all this Puritan stuff, Well, I could make it more than worth your while.
Blake, I was fortunate enough to be born the son of a very wealthy man. And money doesn't interest me in the least.
Money? Oh, no, not money. Something that's worth more to you than all the money in the world.
Blake, you couldn't bribe me no matter what you offered.
Mr. District Attorney, I'm going to change your mind in less than 1 minute.
All right, Blake. I'm listening.
5 years ago, you sent a girl to the penitentiary for attempted murder. My murder, remember? Well, you were wrong on that one. She didn't shoot me.
What? Then why didn't you say so?
I was saving it. Saving it for a rainy day.
What are you talking about?
The Alberti woman didn't do it. She was in my apartment that night, but she left. And a man came in. He owed me some money. He didn't have it. I threatened to tell his father that he had lost at gambling, and he went crazy. Pulled a gun and shot me.
Who was this man?
Your son, Carl.
Carl? I don't believe you.
Oh, but I can prove it. Look at this. His phony check. That's why he came to my apartment. He demanded the check. We scuffled when he pulled a gun. I hit him, and then he shot me. He left in such a hurry that he forgot the check.
I see.
But there's something more important than the check.
Yes? What?
A gun. A revolver.
Whose gun?
Take a look at it. One shot fired. Recognize that gun?
Why, yes, it's mine.
If ballistics were to check this gun and compare the bullet taken from my chest, they'd find a definite similarity in rifle markings.
I see.
Well, that's all there is to it. What do you say now, Mr. Winston?
You've really got me in a tough spot, haven't you, Blake?
If you care anything about your son or his future, you'll forget this cleanup business.
All right, Blake, I'll think it over. It's something that can't be decided in a moment.
Good night, Winston.
The cleanup campaign is dropped, and Fred Blake flourishes. He opens more gambling clubs, grows wealthier and wealthier. And a year later, he is a popular figure in the swank set of a southern beach resort. At the moment, Fred is a weekend guest at the beach home of one of the wealthy 400.
Oh, what a perfectly divine night.
Yes, Anita, I've never seen such a moon.
So peaceful and quiet here on the beach. I didn't want to dance anymore.
Well, let's sit down here on these rocks.
All right.
Anita.
Yes, Fred? What were you going to say?
Are you going back to Boston Sunday?
Why, I don't know. I haven't decided. I've a few more weeks, but I really should get back. The magazine's so understaffed, and I've a world of illustrations to do. Why do you ask, Fred?
Well, I thought if you didn't have to go back, you might come over to my place for a week.
Your place? Oh, but Fred, I...
Yes, I'm having some guests down for a week. Several couples from New York.
Well, I don't know. I really should get back.
Please come, Anita. Please do.
Well, it's very sweet.
Anita,
you...
I really want you to come. Because...
Yes?
You know the way the moon shines on your hair? It looks just like spun gold.
Does it? Is that what you were going to say?
No. There are a lot of things I want to say. Do you realize what a beautiful girl you are, Anita?
Oh, Fred.
I mean it. From the moment I first saw you, you knocked the props right out from under me. Nothing else exists. Nothing else matters. Nothing but you, Anita.
But, Fred,
I'm wild about you. Crazy.
Please, Fred, we better go back.
You've got to listen, darling. I love you.
Are you asking me to...
Yes. I want you to marry me.
But I'm a career woman. You don't want a career woman for a wife. Besides, we've only known each other for a few days.
I don't care, career or not. 2 days or 2 hours. I love you.
Let's get back to the house. Come on.
You mean you don't like me? Is that it? Or is it some other man?
No, I do like you very much, and there's no other man, but... Well, I'll have to think about it. If I marry, I know I'll give up my work, and I'm not sure I want to do that.
I see. Well, will you at least make me happy by joining the party at my place for a week?
Yes, I'll come, Fred. I'll stay here for another week, but please don't high-pressure me. Let me make up my own mind. Promise?
That's a deal. Shall we seal it?
Certainly.
With a kiss?
Fred, I... Please.
I love you, Anita.
Let's go back to the house, please.
But Fred doesn't keep his promise. Fred isn't the type. When he wants a thing, nothing can change his mind. And by the time the week is up, Fred has made up Anitra's mind. They are married and decide to spend their honeymoon in Florida. But a few weeks later, their honeymoon is interrupted. Fred is stricken with an illness.
In this room, Dr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Fred. Fred.
Yes, darling.
This is Dr. Phillips.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Blaine, what seems to be the trouble?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Dr. Phillips is a specialist from Miami.
Yes.
Suppose you tell me a few things, Mr. Blake.
Well, I'm afraid it's some sort of paralysis.
Paralysis?
Yes.
What makes you think that?
Well, the first time it hit me, I got kind of faint. My feet and legs became numb, sort of crept up on me. At first, it wasn't so bad, but the next time it came, it affected my hands and arms, too. I got dizzy and I passed out.
Oh, I see. You become nauseated, Mr. Blaine?
No. But after the attacks, I'm so exhausted, I can't even get out of bed.
Hmm. Well, I'd better give you a thorough examination.
What do you think it is, Doctor?
Well, I don't know at the moment.
Well, do you think it's serious?
Any interruption in the functions may be serious.
Do you think it would be best to take him to a hospital, Doctor?
I don't know yet.
No, no, darling, please. I'd rather stay here with you.
Yes, dear, of course, whatever you say.
Please, Mrs. Blake, would you mind stepping out for a while?
Very well. I'll be in my room. Call me when you've finished. Everything's going to be all right, dear. Please don't worry.
Yes, I'll be all right.
May I come in?
Oh, yes. Come in, Mrs. Blake. I've finished.
It's been an hour. I just couldn't wait any longer.
It's quite all right.
How do you feel, Fred?
Well, a little better, I guess. He pounded me and thumped and listened, but I don't think he knows himself. I do feel better. I'm going to get up and walk around.
Mr. Blake, I'd advise you remain as quiet as possible.
Why?
If you attempt to move about, I'll have to withdraw from this case.
What have you discovered? What is it?
Just relax.
Why don't you say it? Why keep it a secret? I'm entitled to know. Spill it!
Now, please, Fred, darling, please don't get excited. What is it, Doctor? Do you know?
Mrs. Blake, I'd like a few words with you. Step over here to the window.
Why, yes, of course, Doctor.
Very sorry.
I can't believe that, Doctor.
Well, what are you talking about? Why go over there and mumble? Why don't you say it and be done with it? Did you hear me? What are you mumbling about?
Oh, Doctor, no.
What are you telling her, you quack? Why don't you tell me?
No, please, Mrs. Blaine. Now, please be calm. I had to tell you.
If you don't tell me what you're talking about, I'll get out of this bed and brain you.
Oh, no. Oh, no, please. Darling, please don't get up. No, you mustn't.
Now, Mr. Blake, I advise you to stay in that bed and control your temper. You're in no condition to withstand any form of excitement.
No? Do you know what's wrong with me?
I do. And believe me, if you want to recover, you'd best remain as quiet as possible.
It's that serious?
You have a chance, Mr. Blake. And that small chance depends mostly upon you yourself. I'll do my best, but it mostly depends on you.
Is it paralysis?
A knowledge of what it is will not help you. It is better that you think as little about it as possible. Good night, Mr. Blake. Good night, Mrs. Blake.
Good night, Doctor.
Anitra, what did he say?
Oh, Fred. Fred, you must try not...
Another week passes, and Fred still remains in bed. He has had several more attacks, each one a bit more severe than the last. The doctor has made several visits, and Fred is now terribly frightened by the doctor's concern regarding his progress. Shortly before midnight, Fred feels another spell coming on. A little more severe.
Anitra! Anitra!
Oh, yes, darling. Yes, Fred?
I'm getting fainted. It's coming on again. Get the doctor.
Oh, yes, Fred. I've already called him. He'll be here in a few moments. Now, be quiet, dear. Please, don't exert yourself.
Oh, this is the worst yet.
Please, be calm. You're all right.
Oh, no. I'm scared. This is it. I know this is the end.
Oh, Fred. Fred, don't say that.
I can tell.
No, you've nothing to fear, darling. Nothing.
I have. I can't help it. afraid.
Fred, you must get hold of yourself. You must.
I know I haven't a chance. You know that. The doctor knows. He told you. I know, too.
Oh, please, Fred.
There's something I've got to tell.
Hush, darling.
But you don't understand. I've got to tell someone.
Oh, you must calm yourself.
Well, you've got to listen to me. You've got to.
Well, the doctor will be here in just a few moments. Now, please try to save your strength, darling.
He can't help me.
Oh, come in.
I came as quickly as I could, Mrs. Blake.
It's another attack, Doctor. It seems to be worse than the last. He's terribly frightened.
Come now, Blake. You must try to get hold of yourself. The pulse is...
Pulse is what?
Just a second. My bag, please.
Yes, Doctor.
Thank you. Now, let's have a listen to the stethoscope. Do you have a chill, Blake?
I don't know. I'm just awful numb. It's creeping up inch by inch.
Oh, please, Doctor. Can't we take him to a hospital?
A hospital? I'm afraid that, he's as well off here as in the hospital.
Why don't you tell me the truth? I've got a right to know. Tell me the truth.
Now, you're going to be all right, Blake.
You're lying.
Mrs. Blake,
Yes, Doctor? What did you start to say?
Tell me. I've got to know.
Yes, Fred. Tell us, Doctor. There's no use evading the issue. Fred wants to know.
Very well. Since you insist, there is nothing I can do for you, Mr. Blake. Nothing anyone can do for you.
You mean it's a matter of days?
It may be only a matter of hours. I'm sorry, Blake.
Hours? Anitra.
Oh, darling, I knew, but I just couldn't let you know.
Hours? Doctor, will you leave us alone for a while?
Of course.
Oh, please, don't leave the house, Doctor.
No, I'll stay with you as long as you need me. I'll be in the hall. You call me if you want.
Anitra, get a sheet of paper and write what I tell you.
Yes, dear.
And please hurry, Anitra.
Of course, dear. Yeah, I'm ready.
To District Attorney Frank Winston.
District Attorney?
I never thought I'd do this, but here it is. Joe Alberti was innocent in the killing of the bank messenger. He was framed. I killed the messenger and framed Joe.
Fred.
And Joe's wife is innocent of trying to kill me. She didn't shoot me, and I want her released. I'm enclosing a check for $10,000 for her. And furthermore, what I told you about your son was a lie. He didn't shoot me either. He did come to my room. He had a gun. I took it away from him. And in the scuffle, gun went off. I shot myself. So that clears everything up. Now you can start your campaign. But I won't be around to participate. Yours, Fred Blake.
Fred, are you out of your mind? Well, this is ridiculous. I won't turn this over to the district attorney. I won't.
Please, Anitra, please do. I can't die. I just can't unless I know. Please. You've got to do it. Hand me the pen. I've got to sign it before my hands go numb.
Oh, no. No, don't sign it. Please don't. It isn't true.
It is true. Every word. Hold it for me. There. Oh, darling. You don't know what a relief this is.
All right, Fred. I'll do as you say. Oh, darling, I don't care what you've done. You've been so good to me. But if you want me to turn this over, I will.
I do.
Oh, Doctor! Doctor! Quick, Doctor!
You're too late, Doctor. Everything's okay now.
Well, it's all over. All over.
I was fortunate in getting a plane within half an hour after you phoned me, Mrs. Blake.
So I understand, and I appreciate your coming.
Well, what is this about Fred Blake?
Well, Fred has been ill for several weeks, and last night, Well, he got worse, became frightened, and made me take down this letter. He signed it and then...
Letter?
Yes, you may read it. It's addressed to you. And I promised him I'd see that you got it.
I see. District Attorney, friend, I never thought I'd know this. Joe Alberti. And what's this? Carl. Out of all things, I had a hunch this would clear up sooner or later. But how, I hadn't the slightest idea.
And here's the check for $10,000 to Mary Alberti. Will you see that she gets it and is released from prison?
Mrs. Blake, Mary Alberti was paroled over a year ago. You keep the check and I'll locate her for you. You can give it to her.
Do you know where she can be found?
I have a pretty good idea. Now, may I see your husband? I'd like to be sure that he is the Fred Blake.
Yes, of course. This way.
Yes, he's the real Fred Blake. That's all I wanted to know.
Nietzsche. Is that you, Nietzsche?
Good Lord, I thought he was dead.
What is this? Where am I?
Blake!
Doctor, what happened?
I'm not a doctor.
No, then who are you?
I'm District Attorney Winston.
Winston? What are you doing here? Where am I?
You're in your bed, but you're on your way to jail.
Jail? Are you crazy? I'm sick. I'm dying.
You may be right about that.
He isn't dying. It's all in his imagination.
Yeah? Get up out of that bed.
But I can't. I can't walk.
Then we'll carry you. All right, Murphy. Come in and carry him out.
Yes, sir. Come on, Jim. We'll make a saddle seat for him.
I'm sick, I tell you. I'm dying.
You're taking a plane ride north, whether you're dying or not. You signed this confession, didn't you?
What? Yes. But you weren't supposed to get that till I was dead. Why didn't you wait, Anitra?
Bring him along.
You'll never convict me. You'll never get that far because I'll be dead.
Come on, boys. Take him to the car.
Anitra. Anitra, why don't you tell them? It's all a mistake. They can't do this. Tell him.
Tell them what?
Well, I'm dying.
What can I do, Fred? I did just as you asked me to do. I can't do a thing now. It's too late.
What's happened to you? What's happened?
Nothing. I've never been so satisfied in my life.
What?
I said this is the happiest moment of my life. Now get up, Fred. You can walk. You're stalling. There's nothing wrong with you.
You're crazy.
No, she's not crazy. She's clever. I've tried for over a year to work this thing out, and she did it all by herself. Yes, Blake, Mary Alberti, now known as Mrs. Anitra Blake, is a very clever woman.
Well, there you are. Mary Alberti, alias Anitra Blake, was a clever woman. She knew that her husband Joe was innocent. And when she was sent to prison for shooting Fred Blake, she made up her mind to eventually get out on good behavior. So she studied art, glamorized herself, changed her speech and appearance, and worked her way into the circles frequented by Fred. And everything worked out just as she planned. There was nothing wrong with Fred. He wasn't ill and he wasn't dying. Just a few grains of medicine each day was all that was necessary to bring on that numbness. And the doctor? Well, he wasn't a doctor. No, he was really the brother of her husband. The brother of Joe Alberti.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed by Wilbur Hatch and conducted by Ivan Dittmars. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next week, same time,
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you another unusual story. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
She went through considerable effort to make her plan work out. And it worked for a while, but as is often the case with the Whistler, the twist at the end fouls up the perpetrator. Tonight it was Death in the Air from August 13th, 1943. A foray into science fiction in just a moment with 2,000 plus. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's a good beginning for a radio show. Giant Rats, a great way to start. And from that, where do you go? Well, you might just skip a few evolutionary steps and go right to the top, to a super intelligent human being. That's what Dr. Ellsworth has in mind. And guess who he wants to be first? Well, we'll find out in this story called The Giant Walks. From the early 1950s, it's 2,000 plus.
It was like a terrible nightmare. Even now, I sometimes wake from a dream and find myself shaking from the memory of it. I'll never forget when I first saw him. A man so monstrous, so unhuman, that I refused to think it could ever happen again to anyone else. But who can be sure? Others have had the same idea. Oh, yes, the law forbids it. But laws are broken every day. Will it happen again to someone else? Someday? In the future? Perhaps it will happen to many. I don't want to see it.
To hear the story of this strange monster, listen in a moment to 2,000 Plus. In the world of tomorrow. Dramatic stories of science fiction from the years beyond 2000 A.D. Today, an amazing story of science uncontrolled. The Giant Walks.
You are monsters. That's it. Fight to fill your slimy stomachs. Feed the rats, the doctor said. Always feed the rats. As if you weren't big enough already. If I had my way, I'd kill all you rats. That's what I'd do.
I wouldn't go close to them, Hawkins. A rat 4 feet long can be quite a nasty little thing.
Oh, yes, Dr. Ellsworth.
Is everything ready, Weston?
Yes, Dr. Ellsworth.
Barstow?
Yes, sir.
Then open the cage.
Look at it go. I've never seen a rat run a maze so rapidly.
Check that gold gradient, Weston.
Yes, Doctor. The rat's in the food box now. Let me see. 11.8.
There. You see, Weston, not an unusual intelligence, just high. Well above that of the average rat. Look at them. The power in those legs. Barstow. Just imagine what they could do with their teeth if they had the chance.
It's frightening to think what would happen if all rats were giant rats. If they got loose.
It's evolution, Barstow. Merely the scientific elimination of growth barriers.
Now that your experiment's a success, we can tell the world. Your theories will be accepted. You'll regain your rightful place in science.
Not yet, Barstow. Not yet. I'm already at work on what I consider will be an ultimate experiment. It's only a matter of calculating, checking, and verifying data on the rats so we can build a larger pituitary revitalizer.
Well, what animal do you have in mind for this new experiment, Dr. Ellsworth?
What animal? Well, there's only one that I could possibly be interested in now. It's the next logical step.
Surely you can't mean...
Yes, Barstow. A man.
Thank you.
to see me, Dr. Ellsworth?
Yes, Weston. I want to talk to you about the experiment on human beings. I want you to help me with the experiment.
I hope you're not thinking of me, Dr. Ellsworth.
What's the matter, Weston? Don't you think it would be valuable to give yourself to science?
Well, it would seem that there are so many to choose from.
So many, Weston? Who, for example? I'm sure that old Hawkins won't do. And we really can't kidnap anyone.
But, Dr. Ellsworth, I was...
I'd say it would be a great honor to be the first real Superman on Earth.
Well, how about Barstow?
Exactly, Weston. Just what I was leading up to. You seem relieved. Yes. In Barstow, we have a real physical specimen. And he seems to have quite a boundless enthusiasm for the future of mankind. An attitude you apparently don't share.
Well, how could we get him to agree to it?
Psychology, Weston. It's merely a matter of appealing, in the proper manner, to his scientific judgment and sense of fair play. Now, here is what I want you to do when he gets back. Glad to see you back, Barstow.
Dr. Ellsworth, Weston tells me you're ready to begin the final experiments on man.
Yes, Barstow, I soon hope to be the first of a new race. A race that will make the man of today look like a pygmy, puny, and insignificant. If the experiment succeeds, my physical size will double or even triple. I'll be able to live at least 300 years instead of the 100 or so odd years a man can expect today. The brain cells will probably also expand, giving me an intelligence that will make you and Weston look like products of the Stone Age.
Well, I don't think it's fair for you to sacrifice yourself. It's not fair to humanity. If you die, there'll be nobody to carry on.
You know these experiments are illegal. We could never find another subject. It would have to be one of us three or nobody.
Well, I'd be willing to take the chance, Dr. Ellsworth.
And so would I.
You can't go through with this, Dr. Ellsworth. You're needed to direct the experiment.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, I see you have the true scientific spirit. Well, since I am unwilling to give up my right to be the subject, and you're unwilling to let me be the subject, then there's only one way out.
What's that?
We'll draw lots. If you agree, leave the decision up to fate.
That sounds like a good idea. Don't you think so, Barstow?
Why, sure, I guess so.
Well, it's the only way out, my boy. One of us must be the guinea pig. Now, I'll tear three strips of paper. Now, the lots are arranged in my hand. Whoever gets the short one will submit to the experiment, and there'll be no further objection from any of us. Agreed?
Agreed.
Right.
Choose, gentlemen. Weston? Barstow? Myself?
I've drawn the short one.
Yes.
I'd like some time to see Barbara, Dr. Ellsworth, before the experiment.
I'll give you 3 weeks to straighten out your affairs, Barstow. Then I'll expect you back at the laboratory.
Contacts are wide open.
Cut the circuit, Weston. That's enough. Well, Barstow, are you ready?
Quite ready, Dr. Ellsworth.
As you know, it may be painful at first, but after the primary series, I don't think you'll notice much.
I'm not worried, Dr. Ellsworth.
No, of course not. Well, good luck, my boy.
Thank you, sir.
Contacts open, Weston?
Yes, Doctor.
Then pipe the circuit. Now, that's fine. I'll keep it steady at 3,000. Prepare for the first injection. We'll give him 5 electronic unit charges. Valve open. How are you feeling, Barstow?
Pain. My whole body is numb. You've got to stop the experiment, Dr. Ellsworth.
He's out again. Dr. Ellsworth, you think we're doing the right thing? His heartbeat has slowed down so much, I'm afraid.
Of what, Weston? You're not losing your nerve, are you?
Oh, no. It's
Oh, only that I thought...
Don't do any thinking, Weston. I'll do that part of it. You just check the regenerator charts.
Very well, Dr. Osmond.
Nothing is going to keep me from completing this experiment. And I warn you not to try to interfere, Weston. I'll close the circuit. We've been checked again. 100 cc's.
Valve open.
Dr. Osworth, look at him. 12 feet tall and he weighs 750 pounds.
Of course, Weston. As I told you, there's very little difference, really, between a rat and a man. We're all animals.
But, Doctor, he hasn't given much sign of life during the past few days. You think his body can stand the strain of all this growth?
Certainly. In fact, I think we'll give him the final super injection today. About 500 cc's should do it.
500? But that's five times what we've been giving him.
Yes, Weston. We're building a new skeletal structure. New flesh, cartilage, and bones.
Contacts open.
Keep it steady at 6,000. We've got to provide the final shock for a system.
The valve's completely open, Dr. Ellsworth.
All right. Now. Done it. He's 30 feet tall if it's an inch. Barso, can you hear me? Can you understand what I'm saying? You must talk slowly, Barso. Slowly. You're not an ordinary human being anymore.
Look, he's getting up.
Hey, what's happening to me? Why is everything so small?
Our experiment is a success, Barsto. You're a Superman. I've made you a Superman.
But I can't move. My head is touching the skylight.
Stoop down, Barsto. There's a rolling door in the side of the laboratory. I think you can crawl through that. Easy, Barsto. Very slowly. That's it. Well, how does the world look now that you have some elbow room?
Small. The world is very small.
30 feet of muscle and bone. It's my creation. My creation. Have the report on our testing so far.
Well, as best I can figure, Doctor, the subject can lift almost 20 times as much weight as an ordinary man and run approximately 60 miles an hour without difficulty. Oddly enough, though, he appears to get along fine on 4 or 5 hours sleep a night, but he's consuming food at a rate that's all out of proportion.
Well, that's understandable. It's still making an adjustment. Go on.
Mentally, very superior. He appears to be able to solve the most complicated problems right in his head.
It's all just as I predicted.
But this morning, though, after I just finished giving him the work test, he pulled up a tree by the roots and waved it at me. It was frightening. I ran, and he began laughing. It sounded more like thunder.
Weston, you're letting your imagination run away with you. It's quite obvious what's the matter. He's not getting enough exercise. We've got to give him more physical work to do. Come on.
There he is. Just sitting on that hill and staring.
Barsto!
Yes, Dr. Ellsworth?
I want you to take this special shovel we've made for you and dig a trench. Weston will mark it out for you and check your working speed.
All right, Dr. Ellsworth. Whatever you say.
See? It's quite simple. You've just got to keep him occupied.
Dr. Ellsworth, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes?
What are we going to do with Barsto? I mean, what are we going to tell the world about him? We can't go on continually this way.
Yes, of course we can. And once we're sure of ourselves, we'll get other men. We'll make giants of them. We're building a race, Weston. A race of supermen with which we can rule the world. We've only to learn how to control Barstow so he'll respond to our every command. And then we'll build an army.
Doctor, that's not right.
You know, Weston, you're a good assistant. It's only when you think that you get into trouble.
Barstow, are you awake?
What do you want?
I must talk to you. Dr. Ellsworth wants to use me for the next experiment.
Oh, what's that to me?
I don't think you understand. He's working on a method to control you electronically as a giant. It's what he's been waiting for. And when he can finally control you, he'll begin to make more giants. He wants to build an army of giants so he can take over the world.
That isn't true. Dr. Ellsworth is interested only in science. You just don't want to be a freak as I am. Cut off from everything just because I was unlucky at drawing lots.
No, not unlucky, Barstow. Framed. Dr. Ellsworth and I agreed to volunteer just to get you to volunteer. We arranged the lot so that you would be chosen. Oh, please, Barstow. That's why I let you know. I wanted you to do something about it before it's too late. Now, what are you going to do? Where are you going?
To tell you, I can't go on with these experiments. I'm through, Dr. Ellsworth.
You're raving, Barstow. Go back to your quarters in the barn and we'll talk about it in the morning.
I can't go back to the barn.
Why not?
I'm tired of living in the barn. I knocked it down.
Calm down, Barstow. Calm down before you do any more damage.
Yes, Dr. Ellsworth, that's just what you'd like, isn't it? For me to calm down, to become nothing but a giant tool in your hands, a tool for conquest and revenge. Isn't that so, Dr. Ellsworth?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, all right. And what's more important, I know, Dr. Ellsworth. I know that you tricked me into volunteering for this experiment.
What if I did? You were the best physical specimen.
You would stop at nothing to carry out your hideous experiments. Future of mankind. That's a good one. You're not interested in mankind at all. You're only interested in building a super race for your own ends. You want an army of giants so you can take over the world.
You're mad, Barstow. You are my subject, and you have no right to behave this way. If I had the control of finishing... You knocked out that wall.
Yes, Dr. Ellsworth. And that's just what I ought to do to you. You have no more right to live than I. How much strength does it take for a 30-foot man to kill an ordinary man with his fist, Dr. Ellsworth? Figure that out.
What are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything to you. I am going to let the World Science Council know about your experiments. They'll know what to do about you.
But you can't leave. You're a monstrosity. The world won't understand you, Barstow. Besides, you have an obligation. You must sacrifice yourself for science.
He's gone?
Yes. All my plans ruined.
Yes.
Weston, you did this to me. You told him about my plans.
Yes, Dr. Ellsworth, I did.
You've ruined the experiment, Weston. You betrayed science. You have no right to live.
Who are you to decide these things?
Come inside, Weston, now.
A gun?
Right. Come along now, Weston.
There's one last experiment I want to perform. I'm curious to see how a man can stand up against a giant rat.
No, no, please, please, Ellsworth. I'll do anything you want. I don't want to die. I'll be the subject of a new experiment.
Too late, Weston. Shall I've thought of those things before. Stand still. There. Right by the cage.
No, no.
Now.
Don't push me in.
No, Weston, no.
The old man let me have the jet car tonight.
Oh, it's a lovely night to go riding with you, Bob.
Say, Helen, you hear something?
The motor, you mean?
No, no, listen.
I hear it now, too.
I can't imagine. Oh, well, I guess...
Oh, Bob, over there!
It looks like a man, but...
Don't see it! Oh, Bob!
It's a giant standing in the road in front of us.
Turn the car around, quick! Oh, Bob!
He's lifting us with his hands.
Oh, no,
why are you afraid of me? I just want to talk to you. I won't hurt you.
Put us down. Put us down, you monster.
I'm not a monster. I am not.
We're back on the road. He didn't hurt us.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the police. They've got to know about this giant.
Has been attacked by the giant. Contact has been lost. Take battle formation blue. Prepare for attack. Prepare for attack. Good luck. We'll blast that creature out of existence.
What could it be, sir? A man from another planet?
It's possible. If we could only get that video fix.
Oh, I'm getting it, Commissioner. Look, there he is. Good heavens, what an enormous creature.
Yes, I see it. Calling all rockets. Take elevation 3,000 and prepare to dive on target.
I've got to see the police commissioner.
You can't. It's a battle emergency. Who let you in the control room?
It's about the giant. We've got to stop your attack.
Are you crazy? That creature's a menace. He's knocked down one of our rockets, and now we're going to get him.
But you don't understand, sir.
Quadrant at all, elevation 3,000. Target's in view. Look, commissioner, on the video screen. We're ready to open up on them, sir. Just give the order.
No, 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 no. You've got to call off the attack.
Commissioner, look to the right of the giant near that small hill. Those two men are from Rocket 117. They're walking unmolested toward Junction 9.
Thank God they're all right.
There, you see, he's not dangerous. Stop the attack.
That creature's been running berserk.
Transmit the command for all ships to hold their positions until I give the order. Unless the giant attacks them.
Yes, sir. Orders to all.
Now, look here, sir. What do you know about that creature? Is he from another planet? It's an Earthman. How do you know? He escaped from a government antibiotic laboratory. He was the subject of an illegal experiment. I'm Dr. Weston. I work in that laboratory.
Well, Earthman or not, he's a madman. We've got to do something about him.
You don't have to do a thing. It'll all be over in a few minutes.
Something's happened. I don't see the giant anymore.
What do you mean, all over, Dr. Weston?
Look at the video screen. There. That's what I mean.
Good heavens.
It's amazing.
Squadron Leader 20 to Control Tower. Something's happened here, sir. I don't see the giant has disappeared. What are our orders?
All police jets and rockets. Attack canceled. Repeat. Attack canceled.
Barbara, I had to thank Weston after all. He's a disagreeable character, but if he hadn't acted so promptly as soon as he found out, those rockets would have finished me.
Ellsworth tried to kill Weston, didn't he, after you broke away?
Yes, with the rats. Weston managed to get outside the cage, and they killed Dr. Ellsworth instead. And shortly after that, the rats fell into a coma, and Weston examined one by X-ray, and he discovered that the new bone structure was in the process of dissolving into cartilage. And that cartilage into flesh, which would soon melt away. And he realized their size had only been maintained by the injections. And they'd soon be back to their original skeletal structure. That's why he went to the police.
Yes, but how did he know you'd shrink, too?
Because they stopped giving me the injections.
Oh, seeing you here like this, I can't believe all those stories in the paper about you. A horrible picture.
I can hardly believe it myself, Barbara. It's like a bad dream. Oh, yes. Here's what I came back for. Dr. Ellsworth's safe.
Oh, what's in it?
Here they are. And here they go.
You're burning them.
Years of scientific research up in flames. Huh. But I don't want another man ever to go through what I did. Cut off from humanity to be just a specimen in some scientist zoo. I found out one thing, Barbara. Thickness isn't a matter of size. A man can be 30 feet tall or he can be 6 feet tall. It's what he has in his heart that counts. This world doesn't need bigger, more powerful physical specimens. It needs men with bigness of soul who can love, respect their fellow men.
Exciting story on 2000 Plus. The strange adventure of a man who found nothing and was terrified. Be sure to listen next week to Alone. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Joseph Julian was Barstow, Henry Norell was Ellsworth, Lon Clark was Weston, Reiner Rayburn was Barbara, Morton Lawrence was the police commissioner, and Bruce Evans was Hawkins. The script was written by Julian Snyder. The music was composed by Elliot Jacoby. The orchestra conducted by Emerson Buckley. Sound, Walt Shaver and Adrian Tenner.